Today's Father's Day, and we're excited about that. And we've been in the book of Joshua for several weeks, and I wanted to follow up with that today. And the message is about, as for me and my house. As for me and my house. How many here have maybe said to their children, and don't raise your hands, because I don't want to get you in trouble, but if you're going to live in my house, you're going to live by my rules. I know I've said it. You know, that's just something I know I've done. And usually, for the most part, I'm mad when I say it. And so that's probably not the best time to do it, because I found out when I say it then that something gets lost in the translation. And it usually doesn't go over well. To me, serving the Lord is a good thing. And, you know, we don't need to make it a form of discipline. But we do need to have a disciplined life, though. And we need to discipline our children. And I feel that making a family covenant or a declaration is a great idea. And like I said, last week we've been, you know, in the book of Joshua, we looked at the life of Caleb and some things that he had mentioned and what he wanted to do. And this week we're going to look at Joshua. The passage we're going to look at is found in Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to read verse 14 and verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Now therefore," it says, "fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living." But then he says right here, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the supernatural unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Lord, I pray today, especially for the men, just to rise up. Lord, to be the godly leaders that you've called us to be. Lord, I thank you that we're not here by chance. But Lord, you put us here with a plan, and you gave us a purpose. And Lord, help us to execute that plan. And Lord, I pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, Lord, as I yield to the gift you put inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we're going to look at the idea of fatherhood and what that's all about. And I'm not wanting to exclude the ladies today, but you had your day last month, right? So this is Dad's Day. And so we're going to be talking about dads a little bit. And I don't want you to feel left out. And if something you can bring into it in your life, glory to God. Now, talking about fatherhood, one of the best things that I found that I like about being a father or having kids is that I didn't have to go through childbirth. Amen? You know, I don't know about you, but I just don't know how they do it. My hats are off to them. I mean, after the first one, you think they'd say, "That's it." You know, but they love kids, and I give them the credit, and I think, you know, that's an awesome thing. God bless women. Now, children, I found out, gives us a chance to maybe pass on a little bit of us to the next generation, right? You know, we get to pass on a little bit of ourselves, maybe some of our family traditions or our rituals or how we do things, you know, and that's an exciting thing. I found that being a father is supposed to be a ministry. You know, Joshua in these two passages used the word serve seven times. Seven times. And so we need to look at the idea of what ministry is all about to our family. Now, number one, I don't want to ever forget this, is that our first ministry is to God, our relationship with Him. And, you know, that's important that we don't get that mixed up with other stuff in our life, because if we do, you know, we're going to have some issues. But after we're good with God and we maintain that relationship by, you know, spending time with Him, then we get into what we do down here on this earth. And our first ministry is really to our spouse, you know, our spouse and the relationship that we have with them. We need to minister to our spouse, men. We need to make sure that our wife feels secure in our love and in the things that we're doing for the family. And then after we are good with our ministry with our spouse, then it's the ministry to our children. See, a lot of people mix that up. Now, I know if your kids are little, you gotta take care of them. and you got to do certain things, but you never want to let your kids get between you and your wife. Because that's things are going to have a problem. Because, you know, our ministry after our spouse and our children, then it's the ministry that God's called us in to do and serving, but also the job that we do to help feed our family. Now, if we don't put the ministry to our family ahead of our job or our ministry, I found out that we won't have a ministry, or maybe in certain situations, we may not even have a family. When we let work and things like this that we're doing and things get out of sync, then the problem comes in because the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes in to try to bring division. And that's why it's important, men, that we need to be warriors of God and to be able to stand for our families and see what's really important. Now, Joshua was a busy man. I couldn't imagine what it's like to lead an army of that size. I mean, we're talking thousands of people that he was responsible for. And sometimes we get overwhelmed with the little things we are responsible for, right? The little thing that gets in our plate. You know, we kind of get out of whack a little bit. But what he said here was very important because he made a family covenant. Men, he made a decision for his family. And he didn't do it when he was mad. He had a plan. And he told everybody, because he was speaking to all the leaders of Israel at this time. Because they were just kind of winding down on the campaign, and to be honest, Joshua was getting ready to pass away. He was getting up in age. And he made this statement to him and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can serve whoever you want. I mean, he even mentioned, you know, way back when Abraham's dad, those gods across the river, you can go way back and serve those old things, or you can even do Egypt gods, or you can even serve the gods here in this country that we've dispossessed. But as far as I'm concerned, as far as what I and my family are going to do, we're going to serve the true and living God. And it's important, men, that we make that decision for our families. I encourage this to people, especially if they have, you know, some stuff going on in their life where, you know, things get a little bit out of whack, that husbands and wives sit down and they make a family covenant. What a set of rules. I mean, when you go to work, there's rules, hypothetically. You know, the company has certain rules that you can do or you can't do. That keeps everybody on the same page. But I encourage you as a family, sit down. How do you want to lead your family? What is it that you want to do? Because I'll be honest with you, if you don't make a plan of how you want to lead your family, things are going to come your way, and you're going to do it one way one time and another way another time, and think the kids are all going to be confused. They're wondering why, you know, we did it this way this time, and now we're doing this. This is okay, but this is the same thing, but that wasn't okay. What's up with that? Just brings confusion to the family. So that's why we need to make that idea, have that covenant. And if we do it, you know, I think that instead of playing what's dealt or what the enemy brings our way, we can choose the deck of cards that we get our cards from, and they're from God. You know, and to me, serving God as a family is fun. You can really do a lot of things with your children, men, and going out and serving people. Because Joshua said, as for me and my house, you know, and like I said earlier, my house, my rules. Now, with saying that, that is the way it should be. It is your house and it should be your rules. But just make some rules that are fair, that are according to the Bible, not according to maybe how your dad raised you, praise God. You know, I love my dad, but I mean, not everything he did was perfect. And just like not everything I do is perfect. But I do know the perfect one. I knew the one that's fair and that's just. And if we try to emulate him, you know, then we can start to flow and to be able to function and raise our kids so that when they get older, they don't turn their back on God. Because that's a sad thing when your kids turn their back on God. So we want to get them, you know, make sure they stay connected. And we need to explain the kids. You know, I'm all in favor of explaining why do we do this? You know, why do we do it this way? You know, I think if sometimes if we took the time to explain to them why we're doing it that way, they might buy in. You know, how many's done this, and I've heard this before when I was a kid, because I said so. You know, technically, it's a different generation now. When I was a kid, that was it. Because I said so. Okay, I guess that's it then. Yeah. But today's culture is a little different. You know what I'm saying? You know, because I said so ain't good enough. Right? That doesn't work anymore all the time. Well, it does when they're little, but when they get a little older, boy, them little critters get a mind of their own, don't they? You know, so I think sometimes we can outsmart them and just try to explain to them, you know, this is why God wanted us to do it this way. It wasn't that he didn't want us to have fun, but he wanted to protect us so we didn't hurt ourselves. And if you make the kids go to school so they won't grow up stupid, how many do that? Praise God. How many don't? You don't want your kid to be stupid. I mean, nobody's. When I wake up someday, oh yeah, I want my kid to be stupid when they get older. No. You know, if we make our kids go to school so they won't grow up to be stupid, then you should make your kids go to church so they won't grow up spiritually stupid. Or they won't maybe even end up going to hell. You know, a lot of parents, you know, they make their kids go to school and do their homework, but then they don't encourage them to read their Bible or attend church faithfully. And I mean by that is bring them, praise God. I mean, praise God, some people drop off, and that's good. At least they're here. But I encourage parents, bring your kids. You know, make it a part of your life. Make it a part of your lifestyle so that when you grow, you can grow as a family. I do know that in a complicated world, that husbands and wives and family need to have common ground. You know, some people are so in the sports. You know, we were in the sports. But I will say this, sports change. You get older. The kids grow out of sports. And if that's all you had going for you, and now that's over, what do you got? You got nothing. But if you have God, if you have God's Word, if you have the things of God and the things that you do for the kingdom of God, that'll never change. You'll be doing that till you die and go to be with Jesus, or He comes for us. Amen? So that's why it's important, you know, to set up some of these plans and these things, because, you know, we want our kids to succeed spiritually as well as in other areas of life. Now, something that's inside fathers, I know, is the idea of being a protector and a provider. I mean, you want to see dad come alive, you start messing with the kids. You know what I'm saying? You know, and then all of a sudden, boom, you see another side of dad, right? And that's good. See, wanting to protect and provide for our family, it's in our DNA, just like being a nurturer is inside a woman. A lot of women, it just comes natural, that nurturing gene. Well, with a dad, usually it's protector, provider. Now, we would probably, at any given moment, die for our kids, right? But how many at another given moment would like to kill them yourself? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's complicated being a dad, isn't it? You know, it's complicated. You know, how do you justify and do that? But, you know, it's just amazing. And then the idea of being a provider, you know, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. I know that. You know, I've worked two jobs, you know, pastoring the church and then being an electrical contractor. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you just do that so you can put food on the table and feed your family and take care of everything you got to do. And that's just the way it is. I know we need to work, but I know also that work can get in the way. I've just found that out in my life along the way. Work can get in the way, and I've watched a lot of people, dads, who have let work get in the way. They've let work become in between them and their family. But men, we have failed as a father if our children only have a full belly, but they have an empty soul. We've failed as a father. Because it's our job to lead our families spiritually. And we need to do that. Now, I know that some men may not be saved yet. And maybe you're a wife here and your husband's not saved yet. Keep praying for them. Keep, you know, asking God to intervene in their life. You know, but praise God for men that let their wives go to church. You know, I know men that won't let their wives go to church. You know, and I think that's crazy. To me, that's spiritual abuse. To me, spiritual abuse is just as bad as physical abuse and other abuse. You know, if a man doesn't let his wife go to church, I mean, that's a terrible thing. And we need to pray for those people. Now, secondly, fathers should lead. Fathers should be a leader. You know, men, we need to step up. You know, we live in a time when, you know, men are told not to maybe, you know, be as outgoing and aggressive in some things. But I do believe that a father should lead. And that fathers, we need to set the spiritual tone or atmosphere for our family. That's our responsibility. A lot of men have sloughed off that responsibility to their wives. You know, it just seems like sometimes, you know, women are more in touch with God for whatever reason. I think it's because men get so sidetracked and busy, and maybe they don't see the importance. But I do know this, I am the man, and I am going to lead my family. That is my responsibility before God. You know, I praise God I have a godly woman, and I do. But it's not her responsibility to lead my family. We lead it together. But primarily, the responsibility rests on me to lead my family. And I hope, men, you grab that for yourself, because I do thank God for godly women. You know, children follow what we do more than what we say. I wish it didn't work like that. It's a lot easier just tell them what to do, isn't it? I mean, really. It's easy to just tell your kids what to do, but they don't catch on. They follow what we do. And so we need to be doing the right things. Well, you may be saying, Pastor Brad, you know, I hear all that, but what do I do? Where do I start? You know, I wasn't raised as a Christian, and, you know, I maybe don't know some of the things that I'm supposed to do to lead my family, because I'll be honest, there's a lot of men that have never been taught that way. Well, number one, as you would imagine, is to be faithful to church. You know, going to church doesn't save your spirit, but it does save your soul. And what I mean by that, we are a spirit, and when we're born again, you know, that's what gets saved. But yet our soul is still mixed up. Our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions. And it's important that we as people subject ourselves to the Word of God, somebody speaking into our life, challenging us to grow. Challenging us to get closer to God and to work out those things in our life that need to be worked. You can't do it on your own. I guarantee it. A lot of people have tried. We need each other. We need a church body. We need a church family of people speaking into our life and the anointing of the pastor, you know, to being able to shepherd and speak into your life. And when you do that, our soul gets changed. It gets transformed, like in Romans 12:2 talks about. Next, as well as being faithful to bring your kids to church and stay with them, is do a short devotional several times a week. There's a lot of those out there, and if you need help finding some, let me know. But just sitting down and taking the spiritual lead in your households and sit down as a family, turn the TV off and just sit down. You read a short little devotional. Don't read something 2 hours long and kill them off the first day. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of people do that like they do exercising. Bless God, I'm going to lose weight, so I'm going to go run 10 miles today. Well, then the next day you wake up and you're never going to run again. Why? Because you're sore. You can't do it. So start off small. Especially if your family's not used to doing these things. But do a devotional together. You may not understand everything you're reading, but yet you're the leader of the household. God will give you grace and God will help you. And you can lead your family spiritually. Next, pray with your family. Not just pray over the food, and that's good too, but pray with your family. Your kids are going through some stuff at school, I can guarantee it. School is a war zone. It is hard. A lot of kids are getting picked on and bullied and all the different things they're dealing with. And, you know, kids are just finding their way. They're insecure. They got all these stuff going on. They need a stable person in their life, and that needs to be you, parents. And I'm just going to throw this out. Don't live your life on Facebook and spout off all your problems for the world to see. Come on. Our kids are reading that. You know, we need to be the stable force in the family. Also, fathers, which we may not want to do, but be vulnerable. Admit it when you're wrong, and then show them what God's grace looks like, because they're going to need that also in their life. Because none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We get angry. We do things that we didn't want to do. But, you know, just admit it. Say, hey, I missed it. I'm sorry. I was angry. You know, I shouldn't have done it that way. And I believe that'll go a long way in credibility with our children. Next, we need to put away false gods. You know, part of the protector, part of being a father. You know, the children of Israel had witnessed God do many great things. I don't know about you, but this younger group, they saw the River Jordan roll back. They saw the walls of Jericho come down. But still, it seemed like they held on to these other gods. I don't get it. I mean, the other gods can't do that sort of thing. And, you know, they can't even compare it to the true and living God. But for whatever reason, They were holding on to those old gods, those old strongholds, those old things in their life. And, you know, we need to make sure that, we share with our children, you know, what the true and living God's like, and the idea that we need to be only devoted to Him. We don't talk, endorse other religions saying, yeah, they're the way also. No. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. And we as parents need to show that to our kids. You know, maybe they were hedging their bet and just covering all the bases, but that's not a good idea. Next, fathers, we need to guard the front door. You know, we lock our physical doors at night as a rule, or maybe even keep them locked. But what about our spiritual doors? What about the things that are going on in our families and that's affecting us spiritually? You know, there's some things that are not a no-brainer, that are a no-brainer, I mean. But I want you to think about the idea of who in your circle is influencing your kids. Who's influencing your kids? Who's speaking into their life and trying to tell them what's really true? You know, we need to monitor that. You need to stay up on your kids' stuff they're getting, you know, at school and different places so that we can explain the difference, you know, to them. You know, why would we let a TV programming allow some demon-possessed television executive to program our children? But that's what we do if we don't monitor some of the things that we let them watch. They're just there to sell ratings. So they're going to do shock and awe. They're going to put some stuff on there. And I'll be honest, you know, I talk to a lot of kids. And, you know, some of the stuff they're being influenced from, they believe it's truth because it's, you know, been promoted to them. And then all their friends are believing it, so now they believe it. Parents, we got a job. It's a job to stay up on some of this stuff. But if we don't, then a generation is lost. And it's our responsibility. You know, we need to keep fear from their hearts. You know, if you're a parent and you're having hard times, you know, a minute ago I talked about being vulnerable. But what I mean in this area is maybe you have problems going on in the family. You know, don't tell your kids that you're broke and you're not going to make it. You can tell them that, hey, money's a little tight right now, but we're okay. But don't put fear in your kids' hearts, because fear is going to paralyze them. So, you know, be the adult, men. You know, be the adult. We need to protect our children from these fears, because them fears are going to form them, and it's going to make them live a life of fear if we don't watch out. So we need to guard this and make sure that, you know, our kids are safe. You know, then we need to guard the back door. You know, the things that are culture acceptable bring death, you know, and that's why we need to monitor technology. You know, there's a lot of predators out on the internet, and they're preying upon our children. There's never been so much confusion in a generation since the time of the internet. There's kids just getting on there, and, you know, I could give you a lot of statistics, but I won't today because we've got kind of a little bit of a late start. But, you know, about the things of the predators and all these things where the kids are getting their information. And because of the internet and all these things that the kids can connect with out in the World Wide Web, shall we say, they're connecting with those people and they're letting those people influence them, and they're no longer listening to mom and dad. You know, that skit was awesome today, because we all remember times in our life when we was thinking about our dads that way. You know, and there comes a phase in the kids' life when they think they know more than their parents. And that's when it's a dangerous time. Because it's during that time is when the world's influence is coming in and making them start to think in ways that are not complementary to God. And lastly, we need to not compromise, men. Don't compromise. Joshua challenged the men to choose. You know, life's full of choices. You know, he was speaking to these leaders, and every man, you know, listen to my voice right now. You're a leader. You're a leader of your family. You're a leader of your life and whatever you need to do. And what Joshua did is Joshua issued a public challenge to the people. He just didn't do this in some little small group. He didn't go, you know, just send a mass text out to everybody. He spoke to them in a group and just told them what it is. Men, we need to serve God in public. We just can't serve God hidden behind and, you know, in these walls or in other places. You know, men, we need to rise up and be the godly leaders that we need to be. You know, we need to stand strong in the power of His might. You know, and Joshua's challenge wasn't to them to do something that he wasn't going to do himself. He said, this is what we're going to do. Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's just the way it is. I have a plan. You know, I'm going to lead my family in the things of God. I want to be faithful to my wife. I want to be faithful to my kids. I want to impart God's pearls of wisdom and nuggets into their life. And that's a goal that every man, I encourage you, because you may say, I can't do that. I know you can. Because God can do it through me. He can do it through anybody. Because God is faithful. And God will lead us by His Spirit. And we need to trust in that and get to the place where God wants us to be. You know, Joshua spoke as a battle-tested warrior who really knew God. And men, we are in a battle right now, and we need to stand strong. We need to wear the armor of God. We need to have that, you know, shield of faith and the sword and all these things that we use. And you may say, I don't know how to use those things. Well, just so happen I do. And I'd be glad to help you. You know, that's part of my responsibility and job. And to be honest, it's the funnest thing I like about pastoring is when somebody comes to me and they want to know, Pastor, how do I fight the good fight of faith? Man, I just rise up. That's just something I enjoy doing. You know, because I do know this, that we are in a battle down here and we win because He won. But still, we got to do what we got to do to be able to get us to the place. And, you know, we got to give our kids a fighting chance. They still have their own free will. They still have their idea of what they can choose. But I do know this, people, we can do our job. And we're going to give them, you know, everything we can or die trying. Joshua was speaking here after about a 30-year campaign to take the promised land. That's one of the study things that I noticed. You know, we think the Bible, everything just went like that, don't we? Boom, boom, took Jericho. Boom, 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 boom. Now we got all this. It was a 30-year campaign. Think about the last 30 years, everything that's happened in your life. Maybe you're not even 30 yet. You know, serving God is the long haul. It's what we do along the way, all the way. You know, I know there's ups and downs. We'll go up mountains, we'll go down in valleys, and, you know, all these different things that happen in our life. But know this, that our God is able to be with you all the way, because He was challenging them not to have a divided heart. And that's what we need to do in our life, is to sell out to God. I'll be honest, you know, I dabbled with a lot of different stuff, you know, in finding my way. I was a lost guy, you know what I'm saying? You know, I tried things. I mean, I wasn't afraid to try stuff. You know, I checked out this and checked out that, and, you know, and but nothing really brought peace to my heart or satisfied me. But I will say this, the hardest part of my walk is when I was coming to Christ. There was a time there, it was probably 4 to 5 to 6 months or better, of when I was really hungry for God, but yet I really wanted the world. I mean, I really wanted it. And so it's maybe just my flesh rising up because it knew it was going to be dying here real soon. You know, it was on its deathbed, and it was trying to rise up to keep me from making that total decision to follow Christ. And that was a hard time. But I will say this, that day that I decided to sell out totally to Jesus Christ, I didn't understand everything I was getting into. But I did know this. I'd tried all this other stuff, and it wasn't working. So why not try God? And when I did that, I went after it 100%. And I'll tell you, I've never turned back. You know, the only time you have fun in the kingdom of God is when you're in it all the way. If you're playing halfway, you know, patty cake with God, I can understand why there's some frustration in your life. Because when I did that, it was frustrating. You know, a father may wear many hats, but he should only have one heart. And that heart is for God. And that's where we need to get. You know, remember he mentioned the sincerity and truth, and we need to be real to our kids. Don't be wishy-washy. You know, man up and stand strong. Stand by your word. You can do it. God will give you the grace. You may say, this stuff's all new to me. I've never really done this before. But I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. Yes. You know, being a godly man may not win every popularity contest. You might win a couple. You know I've won a couple, but I don't win very many. You know. See, men, we were called to please God and not our children. And once we understand that, you're going to be set free. Don't try to be your kids' friend. Be their parent. Friendship will come when they turn 18, 19, 20, you know, maybe up in there. You know, it varies, you know what I'm saying? You know, when they finally, you know, get to that, you know, the relationship changes as your kids become adults. But when they're kids, you know, we need to make sure we please God. Lastly, don't do it alone. You know, tie in with other brothers here at the church. We're here for you. You know, support each other, encourage each other, pray for each other. You know, we're in this together because we're better together. You know, a lot of times it's because of, you know, could we have some insecurities and, you know, maybe we're afraid, you know, to bear our heart with other people, other men about what we're going through. But you're going to find out every man has went through a lot of the same things themselves. But if we band together, we can support each other, we can encourage each other, and help us to get through some of these hard things that go on in our life. And, you know, and I encourage you to take advantage of that. That's what the church is all about. It's a family, and we're supposed to support each other. So strong godly leadership is really under siege in America today. You know, especially if it comes from a man. You know, being a man these days, you know, we're supposed to kind of shut up and, you know, keep quiet. Because there's been some men that have maybe done it wrong over the years. You know what I'm saying? They've been kind of mean about it. But the spirit of lawlessness, in my professional opinion, has been released in our country. And it's holding a lot of people in bondage. And that spirit gets in there and it brings a lot of division. To be a godly man that wants to lead his family is considered tyrannical. I hope I got that word right. That's the one I was struggling with earlier. I want to encourage men today to stand up and step up and lead from the front and not behind. Remember, not only is God counting on you, but your family's counting on you. And I believe you can do it. Because remember this, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Nothing we do, we ever do alone. And once we get to that place in our walk with God, that we know that it's him in us, living through us, it takes all the pressure off of us. And that's a good place to be. Let's pray.